Welcome to 2006, ladies and gents. This is your genial host, John Derbyshire, bringing you news and views from Radio Derb, courtesy of National Review Online. Vestila Juba, la faccia in farina. If someone who hates the United States and wishes to bring it into disrespect were to devise some method of doing so, he couldn't come up with anything more effective than the Senate Judiciary Committee hearings on the nomination of Samuel Alito to the US Supreme Court. It's hard to believe, yet it's obviously true, that liberal members of the committee do not know what asses they're making of themselves and what disrepute they're bringing on the institution they profess to serve. Quote, "A number of us have been troubled by what we see as inconsistencies in some of the answers." That was Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont, the ranking Democrat on the committee. I suppose Senator Leahy thinks he has planted in our minds an image of him tossing sleepless in his bed at night, so troubled by logical contradictions in Judge Alito's testimony, wrestling with predicates and syllogisms. Does any sentient being in the USA actually nurse such an image? Is there anyone who cannot read the subtext in the smug, self-serving remarks of Senators Kennedy, Biden, and Schumer? Something like this. Liberal opinions like ours are so overwhelming in their moral superiority, and I myself have attained such an exquisitely refined degree of moral purity, that if you do not subscribe to those opinions, if you do not agree with me, you are a moral pygmy, a twisted, drooling degenerate, secretly desiring to oppress and enslave your fellow citizens. Something like that. Can anyone take this scheiß dreck seriously? I sure can't. Oh, excuse my German there. I doubt that Iran's program to equip itself with nuclear weapons has ever slowed down for as much as an hour. But for reasons best known to themselves, the Iranians have now decided to stop pretending the program has slowed down, and are going ahead brazenly with the production of fissionable material. They probably figure that Israel is too preoccupied with its post-Sharon transition, America too gun-shy from the Iraq fiasco, and the Europeans too cowardly and feeble to do anything but whine, so they might as well let it all hang out. The awful thing is that they are right on all counts. I recall seeing George W. Bush on the O'Reilly Show prior to the 2004 election, being asked by Bill if he would permit Iran to get nukes. "No," said W., "it would not be allowed to happen." So, what are you going to do, Mr. President? Or was that just election talk? Quote from John Keegan, one of the best military historians and analysts in the business. Quote, "The Ayatollahs are known to favour the placing of nuclear warheads in target cities by terrorists travelling by car or public transport." End quote. Writing here from Long Island's North Shore, right under the fallout plume from New York City, I'd really like to know. Went down to Venezuela on a whim. Daylight come and he won't go home. Told Chavez I hate the white folk, same as him. Daylight come and he won't go home. Bush, he's a terrorist. Daylight come and he won't go home. Name one commie tyrant whose rear end I ain't kissed. Daylight come and he won't go home. Made a fortune selling records to the whites. Daylight come and he won't go home. Dump on the nation that gave me the rights. Daylight come and he won't go home. Come, racist demagogues, hire me for your mouthpiece. Daylight come and E1 go home. America is evil and the enemy of world peace. Daylight come and E1 go home. Viva la revolution! Daylight come and E1 go home. Just don't touch my royalty income. Daylight come and E1 go home. Daylight come and E1 go home. Daylight come and E1 go home. I understand why Jack Abramoff's in trouble. He took money from people for work he told them he'd do. Then he didn't do it. Fair enough. It's no different than a crooked building contractor. What I don't understand is why all these Congress critters are wetting their pants. Big money interests pay big money to guys like Abramoff to influence the votes of the Congress critters. Isn't this SOP in Washington? Isn't this precisely what keeps our capitals Tony restaurants, golf courses, travel agents, stockbrokers, escort services and massage parlors in business? Hasn't it been going on since the beginning of the Republic? Are there any adult citizens who don't know all about it? Isn't the difference between lobbying and plain bribery sort of theoretical? Like the difference between monophysitism and monothelitism? Why should I give a damn about this? Answers on a postcard, please, to National Review, 215 Lexington Avenue, New York City. Scots Wahey! Over in Jackson, Missouri, young Nathan Warmack, who is 18 years old and of Scottish lineage, showed up at a high school dance wearing a kilt. On his top half he had a smart dress shirt and tie. The principal, whose name, no kidding, is McClad, told young Nathan to go home and change into pants. That got Scots all over the world riled up, a thing you really don't want to do. You could ask King Edward II if he was around. Several of these Scots felt moved to point out that Principal McClad would not likely have tossed his caber at a student showing up in a dashiki or a poncho. Wear that kilt with pride for Burns Night, Nathan. Ancient Scottish joke. Excuse me, sir, is anything worn under the kilt? No, ma'am. Everything's just as good as new. A news story from India. We don't get much out of India, but here's a story, courtesy of the BBC. Vultures are dying out. Yep, apparently some drug commonly given to cattle is getting into the poor vultures' digestive systems. They eat dead cattle, you see. And this drug is destroying the vultures' kidneys. Hey, I eat dead cattle too. I call it beef. Anybody worried about me? In any case, I find it hard to believe that vultures are really an endangered species. Surely they're not. Not while the Trial Lawyers Association is still in business. Heinrich Harrer died the other day at the age of 93. Harrer was a member of the first team to conquer the north face of the Eiger back in 1938. An Austrian, he joined the SS at about the same time. Not because he knew or cared anything about politics, but because he thought they'd make him a ski instructor. He was never an active Nazi, and even Simon Wiesenthal gave him a clean bill of health. The fuss about Harrer being a Nazi was in fact financed and whipped up by the communist Chinese, who hated Harrer because of his friendship with the Dalai Lama and his tireless support for Tibet and its people. Harrer was the author of 7 Years in Tibet, one of the best books ever written about that strange, wrecked country. A rather good movie was made from the book in 1997. That was when the Chi-Coms whipped up their anti-Harrer propaganda campaign. Nobody loved mountains like this guy, and it is not in the least surprising he ended up on the roof of the world. I never met Harrah, but I knew people who knew him, and everyone spoke of him with great affection and respect. He did much good, no harm that I know of, was brave and honest, and lived an enviably full life. Rest in peace, Heinrich Harrah.